Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Slowboat Records on Cuba Street, Wellington, is unlike most other record stores. It's independently owned and has been ever since it first opened its doors in the early 80s. It survived some of the music industry's toughest times and looks able to survive some more bumpy roads ahead. Dennis O'Brien is the shop's founder and owner, and Glynis Bartlam found him where he can often be found, behind the counter.
It came to be because I was a working musician, needed extra income when I had started a family, and I took a site down at a market, and I did that for about a year. Then I got a little room which was on Plymouth Steps, and it was, you went downstairs and it was a little storeroom, and the rent on that was $25 a week. That was in 1982, I think. And then I bought a business that had been in Wellington for some years called Records Preservation and Junk Palace, which was in Cuba Street, and they used to sell old 78s. They used to sell girly mags, as everybody seemed to sell in those days, and cassettes and records. And I took it from there, and then we moved down to this building, which is the old Westpac Bank building. We liked the bank so much we bought it and moved in here about 12 years ago. I just wanted it to be a nice place to be in, so that a bit of me could, it could be me. That's basically what I wanted. So we had a front window which was like the Victorian mantelpiece, you know, just full of little bits and pieces, little records tucked here, and books and all that sort of thing. I think I just wanted it to be an extension of my living room.
Dennis says that staff at Slowboat tend to stick around, with no one in his current staff having worked there for less than 5 years. Jeremy has worked at Slowboat for 8 years, and you get the impression that he is just as passionate about Slowboat as Dennis.
This is very much a place, you know, just that thing of being introduced to music that sort of really changed your perspective on everything, changed your perspective on the world and the way you thought and felt and viewed things. And it's also a great sort of gift to give to somebody, to share music with them that might affect them in the way that it's affected you. You know, it's a precious sort of gift to somebody. It's one of the things that I get the most pleasure from, is hooking somebody up with something that they just really, really love. Like, and people love music in a way that, you know, people often don't love anything else much. You know, it's something that really kind of gets inside them and means a lot to them. And you make sort of friends that are people who are to do with music, and you also make kind of friends with the music. That sounds sort of corny, but it's the sort of soundtrack to a life, you know, music that you hear that stays with you through a lifetime, and friends who are kind of the same.
Just like we have seen corner bookstores and the local grocers concede to big multi-store corporations, the same has happened to local record stores. That's why Slowboat is unique. It can claim the title as New Zealand's longest-running independent record store. Dennis says he values this independence.
The advantages of being an independent is that you're answerable to no one. Head office doesn't dictate what you do. We live by our own wits, I think. We don't go down with the ship. When the ship goes down, we're on our own. And I've never really had a job where I've been beholden to anybody else. And I don't think I ever could. I'm cautious, I suppose. I always make sure that I'm never in debt. So, and I make sure that, you know, we have sufficient, in a worst case scenario, to cover that. We don't borrow. If we haven't got the money, we don't buy. So we're cautious, and we never do anything outrageous. You play it a bit safe, but you also want to have as big a selection of music as possible. You've got to try and get everybody in. You can't be a little pokey specialist shop where you only get in, you know, musos and kids who, you know, because often they don't necessarily spend money. You've got to have that. You've got to be big enough to have the stock, but you've also got to be small enough as an independent to have an intimacy, to be intimate. And when people leave the store, you'd like to think that they will remember having come into your store. You know, so it's not just a checkout counter, it's a place. And sometimes they buy stuff and we raise an eyebrow, or we say, you are not buying that. And it just causes you get a response. you get a reaction and you talk about it maybe for a bit and off they go, and you'll see them again or you won't see them again, but at least they will remember having been in your store. That's the good thing, I think, that one is big enough and one can be small enough at the same time.
The demise of independent record stores has been largely contributed to chain stores. But as we have seen lately with brands such as Sounds, chain stores aren't immune to failure.
The chain shops are able to sell things for about the same or not much more than what we're able to buy them in for, and partly that's to do with their buying power gives them the power to get discounts from the record companies. So, and they sell things at very small margins, and they're just about turnover, whereas it's probably sort of our brief to probably try and sell one each of 100 different titles more than it is to try and sell 100 copies of one title. So we sort of have a range, and because there's so much sort of competition now and people can buy things online, people can download stuff, that's, you know, there's been a few chain stores recently that have gone under because it's like a business model that doesn't work anymore, whereas, you know, so long as people continue to support a business like this, and we can, I always say in its essence, we just have to be a good record shop. We don't have to be anything else. We don't have to sell skateboards or PlayStation games or anything that we don't really know about or understand. We just have to understand what it is that we sell and the sort of people, what they want out of a record shop.
Chain stores often have some of their stores in the high street of a particular town, a particular city, that aren't doing particularly well. They don't do very well. They don't make much money at all. But because they have a lot of stores, they can accommodate that. That's fine when times are good. But when times are bad and your leading stores start, you know, dropping it, as it were, then everything sinks lower. So then they buy stock, and of course the record companies, rather like banks, extend credit. Consequently, the outfit gets, you know, deeply into debt, and it seems nowadays all you have to do, if you are deeply in debt, mind you, is to change the name of your company and keep on trading under the same old name.
The digital music evolution took many music businesses by surprise, but Dennis says this is not something Slowboat will ever be a part of.
I don't want to do what I don't want to do, and so as long as I'm running it, we continue being an old school record shop. That's what we like, and there are thankfully enough people out there who like that. And if we had to be merely a sort of staging post on the digital highway, that would not be satisfying. Tactile things, the vinyl, the record, that piece of plastic with a label that has a whole history in the label. And they love coming in and walking around a record shop and flicking through it.
In its essence, Slowboat is a bricks and mortar record shop. It's your old-fashioned mom and pop record shop, because what we sell is tangible objects. And I think like a record in particular can just be a beautiful thing. You know, it's a piece of art. It's something you can listen to. It's something you can touch and hold. And I think there are plenty of people who still hold that opinion, and actually, so they're placing value on something other than just music. They're placing value on an object, as opposed to just digital squiggles, zeros and ones.
That's what we love. Dealing in sort of computerized music is something other people do, and I think that we can continue to do what we do for the foreseeable future at any rate, and then I'll be too old to. Okay.
Independent Record Store Day is an international annual event that tries to draw consumers' attention to what is now an endangered concept. It has many famous supporters such as Beck, Bruce Springsteen, and Sonic Youth. This was celebrated last Saturday, the 18th of April.
Well, I think the main thing is that it's a celebration of independent record stores the world over, and that they're still going, and that they do represent that sort of choice and diversity and you know, sort of broad range of kind of ideas and exchange of ideas in terms of its place in the musical community or the fabric of a kind of a cultural community. You know, it's a place of people, you know, we put gig posters up in the window and we sell lots of local music, and I think Record Store Day is just a sort of a nice way of sort of globalizing something that's otherwise it's like a macro approach of something that happens on a very micro level. It's like a sort of a banding together of a lot of sort of like-minded stores from all over the world. There's shops from everywhere doing it, loads of stores in the States, obviously, but shops in Australia, shops in all around Europe and all over the place. It's all very well for people to kind of congratulate themselves on having sort of independent small businesses, you know, still around, but people actually actively have to do something to make sure that happens. They have to go and support them, and they have to choose kind of, you know, individuality and range over making all your decisions just based on price and convenience. And if that carries on happening, then a shop like Slow Boat carries on running, and people carry on having a broader choice. And I just think it's a nice thing to do. And hey, there's a day for everything else, you know. It's just as valid as Valentine's for me.
That report from Glynis Bartlam, and that concludes our show for this week. If you want to hear anything that was in this show or in previous shows, pop along to our podcast at publicaddress.net/radio. I've been Russell Brown.
I've been Damien Christie, and thank you, New Zealand On Air.